All right, let's do it. Let's talk about some mechs. All right, first up, we got the Anvil 3M.
My pick. A couple of reasons I chose it. One was to emphasize the difference between the Commander's Edition and the one that was printed in Mercenaries. Mercenaries tend to give some quite reasonable mechs for a number of the Innisfree houses. This one, and my next pick is also Marek. But they did tend to go into the AMT category, which just kind of stifled the use a bit by the Innisfree. Most Innisfree run AT. The original one in Mercenaries is a 4-1A, 1M2T. It's a 2-6-3 with jump and ECM. The version that came out in Commander's Edition went up to 5 cost with 3A and 3T, which is bigger total if you pay the costs, but it changed to a 2-6-4 jump and ECM, which is much better aligned, and it's a medium speed. So that actually is your 3-6, 3-6-4 for a 5 cost. And now you think, well, now I know why Mark didn't like that Karita charger in the previous set, because he's going to pay for this one instead, very probably. Yeah. And that ECM affecting all mechs just boosts their health effectively, or survivability. So for me, the Anvil Revised is definitely a good and playable mech in the right deck. The Anvil itself, it's decent in draft, and that's about where it's going to be. You can put together a nice AMT Marek deck if you really want to, but it's never going to be tournament standard. It's going to be go have some fun and enjoy it.
I would play the Anvil Revised at 2 or 3 copies in a deck. Now in a Marek deck, because you're looking at the Wraith, you're looking at the Huron Warrior. This is a great 5-drop, moderate speed, medium. It's going to give ECM pairs, if only ECM stack, because I like the Spectre as well with an AT buyout at 3 cost or fast at 0.62. I think it's fantastic. I think it's a 7 for Marek or Inner Sphere if you're playing Star League for Alliance. The Anvil original, it's a 4 or 5. It's basically you're going to play it if you have draft.
All right, coming up next, we have the Hercules HRC L5 9000. That's a lot of letters after.
Oh, God. I think it wins the race for the longest extension. Again, just to emphasize the divergence into munitions when it comes to the Innisfree mechs. Nice little Marek medium again. 1A, 1M, 1T, 5 cost, 2-8-4 anti-missile. It's nice, it's durable. You might put a couple in the mech, in a deck. It's pretty decent when it comes to draft for those reasons, but it's never going to see tournament play. Hmm. It's not bad at all.
It's a 1. I've never played with it. There's so many better mechs. I'm looking at your Huron Warrior. It costs 1 less. It has the right buyouts. It's got the overheat, so it could still do the 4. Yeah. I would rather have the Huron Warrior every single time over a Hercules.
Huron Warrior was Crusade, though, wasn't it?
That's correct. So it took a while to get there.
Mm. All right. So coming up next, we got the Gunslinger.
Yeah, here we go. I love this mech. This is the big three, Davian Kretus Steiner. The big three get to play with this 85-tonner, 2 Gauss rifles, 4 medium lasers, jump and ECM on a heavy 3.97 with ECM. That means it's basically a 4.9, 13 to kill. You're going to have a giant Mad Cat or a bunch of mediums to try and a bunch of fast to try and hunt this guy down. It does the magic number 7. It's the heavy workhorse of the Inner Sphere. Sees tournament play still. Put a McMallet on that and just go to town. He's going to chump block it, or he's going to use a whole bunch of mechs to try and kill it. And he's probably not going to have all of those units out there in order to block every single time, especially if you're rolling 6s to untap. He's fantastic. I rank him a 7 or an 8.
Mark, I'm seeing you animated over there.
Oh, I just think about how there are many ways to kill a big mech. I like it. It's a 10 straight. There's no buyouts, which means you can put it in anything you want. if you want to run a different style of deck with logistics and tactics, you can drop one of these in quite nice. 10 is quite heavy to pay for, but arguably there's a case for an ARDC deck that runs Merchant Cast, drops these all over the place. Shame the Prom Queen couldn't get in on the action, but there you go. Yeah, it's good. It's good. It's a 7. Yeah, no problems with that. You can easily put one or two in a deck. You're not going to have 6.
No, one or two.
All right, let's go to a fan favorite because of a typo. Neil, coming up next, we got the Night Sky.
Oh, yeah, the wonderful Night Sky. It's a 10, and it got banned. It got banned because they didn't do the maths properly. It was incorrectly costed. For example, if you look at this, it's a 172 overheat 3+1 with jump. If you, and it also has the hatchet ability, which wasn't really defined until later, hand to hand. Night Sky deals 1 damage to any mech that's the same speed or slower. When you compare it in that Inner Sphere 2 cost slot, you've got your 262 Alpha 2 Centurion for 22A. You've got your 3 cost Wolfhound at 153 overheat 2+1. And at 2, you've got an even more durable 172 with the overheat. It was played by anybody that could fit it into their deck, whether it was Davian or Steiner. It is complete and utter OP swarm effect. The interesting thing about it is actually when you look at the 98 Worlds decks, Peter Sundtum put a specific card in his deck purely so he could go hunting this. The Inferno Missile retrofit card, which actually doubles the damage here. So the overheat 3+1 effectively becomes an overheat 6+1, if I remember rightly. And literally at that point, it kills itself. But that for me is quite tough to have one card that's the antithesis of this. The good thing about that particular card, and I will make a point of it in the next review of the expansions, is that it also gives AP, which is one of the boons that Peter had when he went up against the Mechless deck, because that helped an awful lot. So the great thing I would point out here is that choice gave him options. It worked against the Night Skies. It worked against Mechless with both of those options. The only other thing I'd say is that they recosted it and put it out in Commander's Edition. I think the fear of God was in them, and they turned it into a 4 cost, and nobody played it. It probably should be a 3. I probably think it should be a 3, 2A, 2T kind of theory, kind of area. A 172, 1+1, it would have probably seen a bit more play. But when they recosted it, it just left.
It's a 10 for a reason. You're playing 6 in Steiner or Davian. This, along with the Mongoose, gave clans trouble. And it's fantastic. It's a 10 100% of the time. You're going to play 6 in every Steiner and Davian deck during this era. And obviously, that's why it was banned. These banned cards are all 10s for a reason.
And I'll throw up that comparison that you put it there in the slides too, so people just kind of see how it's how it stacks against similarly produced mechs. But next up, we have the Phantom D.
Yeah, Mercenaries from a clan point of view started to bring in some more dash based mechs in the Phantom series, and that was one of the ways to probably give the clan players something to deal with. The problem is that it's Wolf, so if you're in any of the other clans, then you feel quite hard done by. When compared to a Fenrish, you drop one structure, but basically you get the dash ability, and that is very, very powerful. I pulled this one out because the A and B are in the following set where a lot of the power creep is. But this one at a straight 6 starts to become useful in other decks. The Big Mech deck or the Invading Clans deck with no buyouts means that you can start and look at logistics-based, possibly tactics, logistics-based deck with things like Merchant Cast and ICF, and the buyouts being absent from this means that it's actually probably worth a slot or two, just if only for the dash ability late game to put an extra mech out there to attack straight away with. And 4 damage is nothing to be sniffed at. If you compare it to some of the other dash mechs in the series, the other Phantoms A and B, for example, that extra cost of going from a 5 to a 6 probably breaks the line of playability. It's a 7 for me. It's usable. It's decent in the right deck. It sees tournament play, but you wouldn't see it otherwise.
I'm with Mark. Until ICF and Merchant Cast were released, I think this is too much to pay for a 1/5/4, even with the dash ability. Once you have the logistics-based Merchant Cast combination that you can get ICF down, and you're tapping a resource for 3 resources, it's definitely playable, and it's a 7 or 8 in that particular invading clans or big wolf deck. I think it's a little too expensive in the mercenary era. But the ability to dash is fantastic. Most mechs, at the end of your turn, you're bringing those out to patrol region. The ability to go on a mission the same time you can construct a unit is fantastic. And you'll see Peter's deck being revised to include the Phantoms for that reason.
Is that the biggest mech with dash?
No, the biggest mech with dash, I believe, is an 8 cost. Is that right? With logistics and munitions buyout, and has 6 as a base attack. 1/5/6.
Phantom C. One of these guys, brother. It's a 1/5/6. I think it's 1L, 1M, or it might be 2 of 1 of the L or M's.
But it's an
eight cost. And yes. Mm. And you're thinking, if I'm going to play with that, then I'm going to be throwing strip mines all over the place.
Yeah. So let's look at the next unit. This is my selection, and this is one of those unique units that are out there. This is a pink Highlander, 90-ton mech with a Gauss rifle and 20 LRMs. It's got missile 1, overheat 1 plus 2, jump, and built-in intimidating paint job. So all mechs engaged in battle with Rhonda's Highlander gets -1 attack. It's revised in Commander's Edition to reflect that only your opponents are intimidated, so your units aren't actually losing -1 attack. 3 armor, 10 structure, 3 attack. Very difficult to kill. Sadly, it has munitions buyout, so you're probably paying 9 for it in most Inner Sphere decks at this point in time. It can be untapped with a Mercenary Contracts command card, but it can also be scrapped with Assassination. So I think it's a fantastic unit at the high end. You'd play 1 in a deck. Of course, it's unique. I'd rank it a 7. Shyster played it.
Yeah, Shyster played it, and to be honest, most of the time it got sideboarded every match. I worry about paying 7 cost or even 9 cost for a 3 attack mech. If I want 3 attack, I'll go get a Dasher. Yes, it's going to hang around. Yeah, the missile, okay, it is. The overheat's a bit better. But I'm not sure if I'd be thinking of paying 7 for a 3 attack thing. That's slow. I like the pink armor though.
Next up, we've got a fast unit. It's the backbone, in my mind, of the Davian Steiner AMT deck. It's the Stealth, 3 cost, 2A, 2M buyout, which is fine if you're playing an AMT deck. You can get those out there. Jump Jets, which is also good, gives you that initiative bonus. It's a 1/7/2. It's up there on par if you compare this to a Fenris Prime. It's up there on par for the Inner Sphere version of a Fenris Prime. Fenris Prime is a 1/6/3 with no jump. I like the ability of the Inner Sphere to play the dirty tricks with those mission cards. Jump lets you do that. It's a fantastic and resilient unit. For fast speed, this was the top of the line for the Inner Sphere at this point in time. I think that this card has been eclipsed by the Spectre at 1/6/2 with jump and ECM and AT. You don't have to have that pesky munitions. But at the time, I think this was the best the Inner Sphere could put out there. I give it an 8.
I think if you look at stat-wise, then 1/7/2 fast is great. And then you look at the buyouts and it's 3. Okay, I'm happy to pay that. 2A, not a problem. 2M kills it for me. The fact that you've got to diversify into munitions for this little thing, probably makes it unplayable in my mind. Most Planisphere don't play AMT, and playing M for this, which, okay, great. 1-7, no problems with that. 2, yeah, it'll kill the Dasher. Jump, it's not bad stats, but playing munitions for that, no. There are other more things to do, in my opinion. I'd give it probably a 4 with maybe a 7 or an 8 in draft, because you're likely to play 3 to 4 assets in that respect.
All right. So, Mark, you have the Venom kind of following up here.
Trying to contrast a little between what was coming out in Mercenaries and then what ended up being in Commander's Edition. A lot of the Inner Sphere stuff, like the Stealth Before, like Rhonda's Highlander, had a munitions buyout. And I think that Wizards were actively trying to diversify the Inner Sphere decks from AMT to AMT. Mm-hmm. It's just that people still found things, and it wasn't until they moved the Mongoose that it really, really changed that way. And then, as Gus said, the Spectre comes in and becomes the choice for most people. The original Venom is a 0-3-1, but it did have Overheat 1+1, so it would kill your Dasher. And it had Jump and the Dash ability itself for 1, 1A, 1M. So people might play it with the 1M buyout and go for 2. The Commander's Edition, the revised version, is a straight 2 with 2A, 2T. And the damage has gone up to 2 attack with an Overheat 1+1. So, yes, it's a Dasher killer if you want it, but if you need that extra bit of damage at the stockpile, you can Overheat if you want. Definitely play the revised version. I think the original one, because you were sport for choices for Karita as a fast mech, it was probably what you ended up playing. The Venom revised is much, much better. It's possibly even an 8 in an 80 Karita deck with that Dash ability. But the original one, nowhere near as good.
Yeah, I'd give the original one a 4.
All right, let's go to a big gun, the biggest
gun.
Oh,
wow. This is the biggest gun. This is the Widowmaker. This is Natasha Kerensky's personal mech at 20 cost with the 4A, 4L, 4M buyout. It's as expensive as they come. Yep. At 32 if you don't have your resources to pay for a mech. The likelihood of this seeing play in a constructed match is 0. The likelihood of this seeing play in a fun match is probably still 0. There is a possibility of getting this into play with the Loose Cannon Arc Royal Defense Quarter Alliance deck. There are gimmick decks, the Dash Daishi that Mark has talked about, that you can get this into play. But the reality is it looks so pretty and it's going to stay in your binder. I rate this a 3. A 4, 11, 12, overheat 5 for 7. It's got the built-in intimidating paint job, and it's got long range 4 because of those 2 PPCs. But still, it's binder fodder.
Right next to Prometheus. Just going to sit there and look pretty.
It does look pretty.
Actually, right. I would argue that Prometheus is potentially playable.
Ooh, how's that? Tell us.
Well, Diamond Wills, if I remember rightly, allows you to ignore the base cost of a mech. I'm just pulling it up on Lackey. So yep. As Prometheus doesn't have any buyouts, you could get that on the table if you rolled correctly. Mm. With Widowmaker, you could roll and get that that base cost ignored, but you still got to pay 4A, 4L, and 4M.
Yeah,
it's one of those mechs you can start building at the end of the start of the game, and you're still building it at the end of the game, and you haven't got it on the table. Gimmick deck is the only way you're ever going to use this. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, put it there and in your folder, and every now and again, just go and pour it and make it happy and look at it, and yeah, because it's not going anywhere else.
Yeah. Right. So the next one is I kind of picked all the unique units just because I really like the unique units for the thematics and the background story. Next is Yenlo Wang, the God of the Nine Hells, piloted by Kai and his father on Solaris. It has a great track record under the Allards, but it is costed at 5 with 2A and 3M. Alpha Strike for 2, just like the other Cent9s, but they only have an A buyout, 163, so you get one more attack and the intimidating paint job. When you compare this to Rhonda's Highlander versus the HGN 732 conversion, he is incredibly overcosted. He should have been costed at a 3 with a 2A and 3M buyout. I rank him a 3, just like the Widowmaker. He looks pretty. It's a great picture. A lot of action there, but it is going to sit in your binder and not see play.
Would you pay a straight 4 for it?
I would play a straight 4 for it.
Okay. Probably
because you get it, it's medium speed and it has the those razor blades on its fingers, so you're going to be able to get an additional one attack generally. So it's basically a 4 up to a 6 with Alpha Strike. I think I would pay a 4. I'm not paying 5 ever, and it should be a 3 with a 2A 3M buyout. If you look at the costing of it compared to Rhonda's Highlander and the HGN 732.
So going back, kills it.
Going back, what would you cost a Daishi to be able to play? What top end mech in the game, most powerful mechs? What should they be costed to make them something that could be seen, albeit rarely, in a tournament?
Look at a 12. Look at the 12 cost Daishi. We've mm-hmm. already talked about that in Counter Strike. Is a card that can see play. You can see anything over 10 cost. If you're putting buyouts on that as well, it's extremely unlikely. Even in Clan Big Mech decks, you want to have, I'd rather pay 14, for example, and get a Mad Cat 299 out of it. Right, Mark? And have it a medium speed, because slow mechs at that cost, it's just not worth it.
It seems when you guys are talking about buyouts, especially for the big mechs, it seems to me that by the time you would get to the point in the game where you are paying enough for that mech, that you should have done enough in terms of things like think tanks or Comstar supports to be able to kind of take care of those buyouts. Yeah, am I reading that wrong?
I think the situation here is that if I know that you're going to play a day sheet, then I'm going to be going hammering your logistics or your munitions. So you're putting your munitions out. I'm going to resource hunt, so that Daishi is going to cost you so much more to start with.
Well, if you think, I'm going to slow you down. That, you can't do that, right? Yeah.
No, but right. then I'll hunt something else. Mm. You know, I'll force the think tank, and you can only use the think tank if it's on the table.
Yeah.
I just don't like paying that many. The investment cost for payoff. You look at the Widowmaker at 20 with assembly, logistics, and munitions at 4 each, and then you look at, for example, the Clan's answer in the Gunslinger at just a straight 10. And the ease of getting a Gunslinger out, even when you're looking in the world of double overtime, that DCI promo card that you can double the number of construction counters on a card, you can get at for 5. So basically, we're talking turn 3, you can have a Gunslinger in play where the Widowmaker would never happen.
Gotcha.
I mean, the buyouts.
Well, I'm not saying, it's the buyouts.
If you haven't got them on the table, you've got to pay them. And you know, if you go back to our case of Fenris Prime, it's a 3 cost, 1A, 1M, 1T. It's not the end of the world paying 4 for a Fenris Prime. Whereas
163 fast.
Yeah. If you've got to pay 32 for Widowmaker, then you're thinking, oh, I'm not happy about this. I want my money back.
Yeah.
No. If I'm paying 32 for that, I want an instant win card. Thank you very much.
You guys, what do you guys think is the prettiest art for a unique mech in the game?
Yen Lo Wang,
you like that art?
I really like that art. I think it's fantastic. The action, you've got the flares, you've got meteors, you've got the paint job that's the most intimidating. It's the God of the Nine Hells. And it also is the mech that's piloted by my favorite card in the game, Kai, Champion of Solaris. So it's number one in my book for the best paint job. But remember, going back to that Commander's Edition paint job for the King Crab, I really like that too. Mm. So, but Yen Lo Wang gets my nod. What about you, Mark?
There aren't that many, are there? I mean, you're talking Prometheus, Yen Lo Wang, Widowmaker, Rhonda's Highlander, and if you're going to go unit, then possibly Paul Moon. So I've got to go Rhonda's Highlander just because it's got pink armor. And I think it takes balls to wear pink armor.
Well, apparently it doesn't take balls to wear pink armor.
Rhonda, Rhonda's got balls. Look at her pilot ability. We didn't pick Rhonda, but I mean, as far as like honorable mention, isn't Rhonda in Mercenaries as a command?
Yep. Oh yeah, she's right next to her.
She's a fantastic card. Honorable mention for Rhonda because the ability to mess with your opponent's abilities is huge, and she gives initiative. She's a really fun card. You want to read that for us, Travis, as the bonus card for Mercenaries?
Yeah, Rhonda is a pilot.
Rhonda in CE if you want.
I don't have that copy in front of me. Rhonda is a pilot with +3 initiative, +1 attack. Choose one of the following options: missile, overheat, alpha strike, or jump. All opposing mechs either use this option or cannot use it. Your choice. Use this ability only when this mech blocks or is blocked. Yeah, that just seems fun.
And she's mercenary, which means you can pull her with mercenary commission. No, one of the mercenary contacts cards allows you to pull outreach, cards with the mercenary keyword. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and she can untap. Isn't there a rule that if she is on a unit and the unit is tapped, she untaps with the unit? Or maybe I'm just thinking because her unit is a mercenary card, it can untap with the mercenary's relation card. Maybe that's what I was thinking.
It'd be an outside combo because nothing on either of these two say.
I think you can untap the mech. I think there's a mercenary card that allows you to tap or untap mercenary cards, and you can untap the Highlander with it.
Yeah, I like that.
Just to clean the pink armor.
Awesome. Well, this has been fun, guys. So we got two more down. We have four more to go. Am I counting right?
Yeah.
We have four more to go.
Arsenal, Commander's Edition, and Crusade.
Indeed. So cool. We'll go back to doing our homework, and I'll get back to. I gotta hit the editing room. We gotta get these out there for everyone. But
thanks, Travis. Appreciate it.
I appreciate you guys taking the time. It's been fun.
Anytime.